This podcast sponsored by Cherry Hill Volvo.
At Cherry Hill Volvo, we have absolutely incredible offers, and a plethora of both new and certified Volvos from which to choose. Join Cherry Hill Volvo for the pricing and attention you deserve. I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
WOGL HD3 Philadelphia from the Cherry Hill Volvo Studios, where relationships matter. Always live on the free Odyssey app. The revolution will be broadcast.
Yes. This is the next generation of talk. Now on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, Rich Zeoli.
Yes, there's so much to get to today, including should Asanto Fauci be investigated, eggs smuggling over the southern border, and fatal heart attacks are surging in Australia. What's going on there? Good afternoon. Welcome back to the show. Glad you are here today. 855-839-1210 on Twitter at Rich Zeoli. Do you know that there was a study done on puberty blockers for children? And what they found was puberty blockers may cause depression decades after doctors began administering them to children. Imagine that. Shocking. It was a 2020 study, first of its kind to use an animal model to examine the potential neurological and psychiatric effects of puberty-blocking drugs, which they are trying to get our kids hooked on. Ghouls like Dr. Levine in Biden's HHS and others advocating for them. For 22 years, doctors have been prescribing these things for gender dysphoria on an experimental basis. And what they found is that long-term use of these drugs, even short-term use, profound effects of increased depression in mice, increased stress, and loss of interest in female mice were reported among the male mice who received the puberty blockers. Our behavioral and neurobiological characterization reveals for the first time that chronic leuprolide treatment, starting after the onset of puberty, exerts sex-specific effects on social preference, despair-like behavior, and hyponeophagia. Neuroendocrine responses to mild stress and hyperactivity of the something or other, which is a crucial neurobiological regulator of stress responses in mice. Dr. Claudia Gennari, an internist and researcher, believes that the negative psychiatric outcomes found in the study have huge implications for pediatric gender medicine. She said this study was long overdue and should bring pause to clinicians treating children with puberty blockers because it shows sex-specific neuropsychological changes caused by this medication. Obviously, you know, in the state of Maryland, you know what happened there? A 14-year-old transgender runaway from Virginia endured a six-month nightmare that saw her twice fall into the hands of sex traffickers. The second time after Baltimore bureaucrats refused to return her to her home state because they accused her adoptive parents of misgendering her. The child is identified in legal documents as Sage, was adopted by her biological grandmother after the death of her father. She was very troubled. She then began identifying as a male named Draco and ran away from their rural home in late August of 2021, only to end up on the mean streets of Baltimore where authorities rescued her from a convicted sex offender. But instead of returning the child to her grandmother, Maryland officials put her in an inner city group home. The reason? They thought her adoptive blood relative parents didn't seem to sufficiently recognize her transgender identity. Imagine that. Because her parents misgendered her, they thought she'd be better in a home, a state home. It's not possible to return the child to that home, said Judge Robert B. Kershaw, after an impassioned plea from Baltimore Assistant Public Defender Anissa Khan. Instead, the judge turned Sage over to the Baltimore City Department of Juvenile Services for placement in a hardware secure therapeutic facility, which makes reasonable accommodation for respondents' expressed male gender and desire to live as a trans male. This meant housing the girl just rescued from a sex offender with some of Baltimore's most troubled biological males. And they point out, Sage has committed no juvenile offense in Maryland. She's not a Maryland resident, has no connections to Maryland. If he, the judge wrote, is located to another state, there is no legal authority to return him to Maryland, much less for Maryland to assert legal custody over him. So Sage spent months in Maryland institutions, then bolted only to resurface in Texas, where she once again had been allegedly trafficked to pedophiles. According to reports, unlike their counterparts in Maryland, Texas officials returned her to her parents. She allegedly told the girl to lie about being abused by her parents, seemingly in order to create a legal precedent allowing states other than where a teen lives to refuse to return a runaway teen if transgender issues are at play. It's a nightmare situation. And once again, it's the typical situation of the state being woke and doing what is clearly not in the child's best interest. 14 years old. In California, at least 6% of students identify as transgender at one California school district. 6%. And why do you think that is? Do you think that is because really these children are transgender? Or do you think because it's pretty cool? And you think there might be a certain amount of, oh, I don't know, social acceptance for this? This is 4.3 times the national average. And even 3 times California's own average. 6% of students identified as neither male nor female during the 2021 school year. Bill Maher had a point on this over the weekend, and I think it's a good one too. Nancy Mace was the guest. It was a good episode, actually, of Bill Maher. But a couple things that really, I think, have struck me about Bill Maher lately, and I don't agree with everything he says, but I think the fact that he's been outspoken on this issue, and like, for example, when he defended Florida and Governor Ron DeSantis, when he said it's not the don't say gay bill. It doesn't say that. If anything, it's the let's just do things the way we did a few years ago and make things normal bill and keep this stuff away from young kids. But he points out the Biden administration is all in on this. And you know where that comes from. Obviously, that comes from Pennsylvania's former Secretary of Health and Human Services, Rachel Levine. Cut 24.
More and more, you look at his curriculum, it's all about that stuff. Mm-hmm. It's all about thing. Identity. It's all about being queer or trans. I mean, children can't understand that stuff. Not in kindergarten.
Most of these people who are making the argument we're making are liberal people who think it's a great thing that in America now anybody can actually be whatever they want. And of course, trans is a real thing, rare. But real, but rare. That part seems to be, we all seem to have to pretend that we're born, I don't know, jump ball.
I don't know.
And there are parents, and I've seen it in South Carolina even, where they're bragging about their children at 4, 5, or 6 transitioning. And I'm like, what are you talking about? They haven't let the natural process happen.
And I think the Biden administration is all in on that.
Yeah, they are all in on this. Of course they are. It is a point of pride for them to be all in on this. You kidding me? They love it. They love this stuff. This is now the new woke dogma of the left, and they're all in. And if you stand in the way of any of this, you'll be the one who gets in trouble. You'll lose your kids in certain states. You'll literally lose your kids if you try to tell them, no, you can't transition. You can't do this because you're only a child, and you don't have the mental capacity right now to be able to make these decisions for yourself. If you try to do that, you could, in some places, you will potentially now lose your kids. So, you know, I'm just pointing out to you, because I think it's very, very important for you to know, that this has become a political point for the left right now. And they are going to never stop fighting this, which is why the school issue is the single most issue right now. I think it's so incredibly important to get good candidates to run for school boards and to push back over this. And you have to realize how demented these people are, how demonic these people are, especially when it comes to your children. Speaking of demons, Nancy Pelosi has summoned priests to exorcise her own home. This is the first vampire in recorded history who has ever had an exorcism. I don't know if you know that or not, but this is probably the first time I think this has ever happened. And I say good, because you know what? I mean, we could all use a good exorcism from time to time. The vampiric one, Nancy Pelosi, reportedly summons priests to exorcise her home of evil spirits. Former House Majority Leader, a man allegedly attacked her hubby there with the summer. Of course, you know, the wink, wink, alleged attack that we've all suddenly now has all just completely gone away. Well, somebody said that really broke her. So over Thanksgiving, she had priests coming, trying to have an exorcism of the house and having prayer services. Father Arturo Albano, the pastor of St. Vincent de Paul Church, Pelosi's local parish, insisted his staff was not involved in such a rite. As far as I know, no exorcism or priest services were performed at her home. See, I think what it really is she wanted to make sure that all the holy water in San Francisco, she could get her hands on it, because, you know, holy water can destroy a vampire. You know that, right? So this was a way that she could make sure that she had control over all of it. That's all what this really is. And Bill Donahue, president of the Catholic League, urged Pelosi to get help from a psychiatrist. The woman is positively conflicted. She wears her Catholicism on her sleeve while basically sticking her middle finger at the Catholic Church every opportunity she sees. Oh, no kidding about that, right? 855-839-1210. Here is Nancy Pelosi on taking on Kevin McCarthy. She was on with Chris Wallace. And who's listening to Chris Wallace? Well, nobody was, but we grabbed the audio. It's just the truth. I mean, you know, if you ask a question, you better know the answer. And there's your answer. This is what she said over the weekend. Cut number four.
I want to start with the spectacle we saw on the House floor a couple of weeks ago. Republicans taking 15 votes to elect Kevin McCarthy speaker. Forget the partisanship, Republican versus Democrat. As a political pro watching that, what did you think?
Well, I was sad for the institution. They should have had their act together. They should have gotten it done. And it was sad. It was nothing to be amused by or laugh at or anything. It was sad for the institution.
So was it worth his doing it? I mean, yes, it was kind of ugly and not particularly dignified, but he did get elected speaker in the end.
Well, 15 times. I mean, that's kind of historic. I'd hope that he would get it done right from the start. What's the challenge? Let's figure this out. Let's get it done. And if not, let's move on to someone else.
You know how there's been all this outrage that Kevin McCarthy kicks certain people off committees, and they're like, oh, you can't do that. Like Eric Swalwell, the tutor, the guy who ripped one on live television, was kicked off a committee. Well, he did. Not exaggerating.
I have to play that now. Keep going. I'll drop it in there.
Well, Eric Swalwell was having a relationship with a Chinese spy named Fang Fang. He was getting his Fang Fang with Fang Fang, and he's having a little time with Fang Fang. And Kevin McCarthy said, there's no way I'm going to let this guy on an intelligence committee. He shouldn't be anywhere around classified material when he was having an affair with a Chinese spy named Fang Fang. And also, too, because he ripped one on national television, and it was disgusting.
The evidence is uncontradicted that the president used taxpayer dollars to ask the Ukrainians to help him cheat an election. And the complaint that I've heard from...
We didn't make that up. That is not edited, right?
No, that's real.
Yeah. Thank you.
Can we hear it one more time? Sorry.
Of course.
Thank you.
The evidence is uncontradicted that the president used taxpayer dollars to ask the Ukrainians to help him cheat an election. And the complaint that I've heard from...
All right. Again, we didn't edit that. That's, you know, what happened. So Pelosi was asked about when she kicked people out of committees, but because she did the same thing, because it's what they do. And it's a power game, and it's how this happens. And anyway, she was on with Chris Wallace, and who's listening. And again, no one was. But nevertheless, we grabbed the audio for you since you didn't hear it and no one did. Cut five.
McCarthy says that he is going to kick three Democrats off their committees. Here they are, Adam Schiff, Eric Swalwell, Ilhan Omar. And he says that you set the precedent because in the last session, the Democrats kicked two Republicans, Marjorie Taylor Greene and Paul Gosar, off their committees. Didn't you open the door to this?
No, we set a precedent, which I hope they will follow. If they have members, as they did, who threatened the security of our members on the committee, were a danger to our members, threatening them, then they would go off the committee. So if they have that accusation about any of our members, let's hear what they have to say. It was clear that their members were a threat to our members. So this is about maintaining safety for our members. The fact that they want to take these people off the committee is more philosophical.
You could just hear the vampiric breath getting very, very breathless. When she did it, it was because members wanted to hurt other members, right? But when we did it, it was for public safety. It was for safety. They're doing it just to be vindictive.
Throw a punch a joke. For the children.
Exactly. Thank you. And she'll cut your head off and you won't even know you're bleeding. That's what her own daughter said about her. She would, too, with her teeth. They're very sharp, is all I'm saying. Just making the point. 855-839-1210. I got a bunch of things to get into, but I wanted to mention to you, you know, Elon Musk was threatened by a UN regulator. And this really comes after they spent all this time in Davos, all the rich people with their yachts and their supermodels and their caviar and their hookers, $2,500 an hour. What?
I'm just bummed that the WEF is all done with.
That the WEF is over?
Yeah, it was fun.
The WEF was good while it lasted. The entertainment was fantastic.
Love the music.
The music was great. The hypocrisy was awesome. Brian Stelter made his big return.
We had some Greta Thunberg, who we hadn't heard from in a while.
Thunberg was back. John Kerry was Al Gore screaming about boiling oceans and rain bombs.
That was the highlight of the entire conference, as far as I'm concerned.
Maybe we should do a little boys to men, you know? How can I say goodbye and... Play some of the hits from Davos.
Yeah, we can definitely do that in the next segment. I like that idea.
That's a good idea, right? In the meantime, here is a UN regulator issuing a stern warning to Elon Musk and what they'll do if Elon Musk does not join this globalist desire to regulate speech every single way, shape, and form. Cut 8.
Our message was clear. We have the rules, which have to be complied with, and otherwise there will be sanctions. I think that the confidence has been weakened, and I had quite high level of confidence when it comes to Twitter. I have to say that we worked with knowledgeable people, with the lawyers, with the sociologists who understood that they have to behave in some decent way, not to cause really big harm to the society. I always felt that this notion of responsibility was there. So this is what I don't feel from Elon Musk personally.
I love the accent too. It's very 1930s, and I really, when you're talking about censorship and controlling everybody, it really pops for me. I think. By the way, quick shout out to our buddy Dutton Ranch Dave on Twitter. Day to Dave, it's his birthday today. Day to Dave, looking good, my man. Happy birthday! Of course, his Twitter profile hashtag Zeoli Army right there. Husband, libertarian. And justice reform, keep politics out of law. Good guy. He's been with the show for a long time. So, Dave, happy birthday, my man. Enjoy it. And, have a drink. Have a drink for me. I'm drinking on the air right now. But, I mean, join me is what I'm saying. Have one. On behalf of the Zeoli Army, happy birthday, buddy. Seriously. We appreciate it. Davos is a grift Ponzi scheme, but it's also a cult, and it's and a bid for global domination. Michael Schellenberger writing this piece, excellent piece. The WEF, which met in Davos, Switzerland, of course, fighting back against conspiracy theorists. But remember something: what we know is that all these conspiracy theories are true, and I'll share some of that with you in a matter of moments. But don't forget what the WEF said: own nothing and be happy. They called it. I actually can't even read one of these things on the air. But what I think I will tell you is this: the notion that the WEF was actually out there just to have, you know, nice sessions and chats to see how they can improve the world and everything like that, with German Chancellor Olaf Scholz and CFOs and Larry Fink from BlackRock and of course John Kerry and Klaus Schwab and all these other people. The WEF does not engage in even the minimal amount of transparency through public disclosure that it constantly preaches to corporations and philanthropies. In fact, their annual report of 2022 touts a relationship with an unnamed hedge fund and a portfolio of assets that include Swiss equity, Swiss bonds, global equities, and precious metals that is in part managed by Al Gore's Generation Investment Management. Meanwhile, Klaus Schwab, the Bond villain, without question, one of the most influential men on the planet, it wasn't the head of Aspen Institute or even the Secretary General of the United Nations that was hobnobbing with G20 world leaders in Indonesia last November. It was Karl Schwab hanging out with all the prime ministers of Britain, Canada, New Zealand. It is a cult wrapped in a grift, wrapped in an enigma. Totally private, totally silent, incredibly lucrative. Davos is one of the most heavily publicized events in the world. Every conference, including this year's, results in hundreds of articles about the world's leaders, celebrities, and billionaires who attend the conference. And yet, WEF is highly secretive. And we don't know who makes money off of it. We don't know how much it all goes around because they don't talk about anything. And yet, if you question any of this stuff, they just label you a conspiracy theorist and tell you to shut the hell up. Eggs smuggling over the border. It's a real thing. I'm just going to share that with you as well. The latest on Joe Biden, the White House, and these documents. And is it time to increase fines for left lane slowpokes? You bet it is. I've been saying this for a very, very long time. 855-839-1210 on Twitter at Rich Zeoli. We got a lot more to get to, so don't go away.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
The Zeoli Show on your schedule from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT in the free Odyssey app.
How do I say goodbye to what we had? The good time that made us laugh, I'll wave them back.
Flirting with climate disaster.
It's so hard.
And I believe that the future is not state capitalism or shareholder capitalism. The future is what I call stakeholder capitalism, which is combined with a social responsibility.
The problem that we have is the open press system and basically all the platforms.
I'll tell you a brief, funny, maybe not funny story. I leave CNN, and there's a crazy website that posts an article saying I was arrested by military police. And then I have a fact-checking email, and I don't know whether to reply to the fact-checker and bother with this, right? Same website a month later says I've been executed at Guantanamo Bay.
We are flirting with climate disaster.
Is now trapping as much extra heat as would be released by 600,000 Hiroshima-class atomic bombs exploding every single day on the Earth. That's what's boiling the oceans, creating these atmospheric rivers and the rain bombs and sucking the moisture out of the land and creating the droughts and melting the ice and raising the sea level and causing these waves of climate refugees predicted to reach 1 billion in this century. Look at the xenophobia and political authoritarian trends that have come from just a few million refugees. What about a billion? We would lose our capacity for self-governance.
Oh, bravo. Well done. Well done. We'll miss you, Wef. We are going to miss you. That's fantastic. Please send that to me.
I will.
I need that so I can share with everyone I know. It's my gift to you.
It was a very nice farewell.
It was beautiful.
I'd be lying.
I have tears.
I was about to say, I'd be lying if I said I didn't shed a few tears along the way.
Oh, outstanding work. And to pull it all together like that in like 4 minutes, it's amazing.
I have to give Henry some credit, but just a smidgen.
You always have to give me some credit.
Just a smidgen. Just a smidgen of credit.
No matter what you do, I'm here tinkering away. You have to give me some credit.
It was an excellent song choice.
It was. And the WEF greatest hits, the things we'll miss the most of their craziness, outstanding. So thank you for that. Philadelphia's very own Boys to Men. Look at that. Yeah, we're feeling good about things. I mean, Eagles won, Cowboys lost. Chris Christie's very upset, but we're feeling good and so much to be happy about. Locally, the trial is going to be starting for Mark Houck. Remember, he's the Catholic father in Bucks County. The Department of Justice is trying to send him to jail for 11 years because he allegedly pushed a Planned Parenthood volunteer who threatened his son. Even though the district attorney in Philadelphia, Larry Krauser, declined prosecution, of course, the Department of Justice is trying to make an example out of him, which is you get out of line and we'll send you away for a very, very long time. 11 years is what they're looking for here. The Thomas More Society is defending him. We'll reach out to one of their attorneys and get somebody on hopefully tomorrow to chat with us about that. But clearly this is a big deal because it's local, it's our area and everything else. So my buddy Jay Jander the other night, I was hanging out with him, and we were having a fun little debate over a point that I made about what I usually say, which is that when there's a mass shooting, I don't blame movies, I don't blame music, I don't blame the gun, I blame the person who did it, I don't blame political rhetoric, I don't blame me, I don't blame you, I blame the shooter. And I've been very consistent with that over the years. And because, again, I mean, I grew up watching rated R movies. I grew up playing video games. I did all of these things. And I never shot anybody. I never killed a person. I never engaged in mass murder or mass shooting or whatever they call it. I never did those things. And I watched a lot of movies with a lot of guns. And I was around guns my whole life. And I've never, ever used one nefariously. Now, people would always argue, well, you know, if somebody is deranged, then a movie might push him over the top. But I would say, yeah, but somebody, you know, pulling out in front of traffic in front of them too close could push them over the top. You never know what's going to set somebody off. And these people are clearly at the intersection of evil and crazy here. So I don't know what's going to set them off. It could be the fact that, like in the movie The Joker, somebody looks at him the wrong way. We can't live in a world where we restrict freedom or we, you know, ban movies or ban, not that he was suggesting that, but, you know, ban movies or ban books or anything like that, or ban speakers, or because a crazy person might be the thing that pushes a crazy person over the top. Whatever motivates these people to commit their acts of evil at the intersection of evil and crazy is something we don't really know. I mean, there's lots of different theories, but I have my own personal theories about it. I just don't think it has anything to do with me playing an active shooter game, for example. Now, look, you may disagree with me on that point, and that's fine because it's a free country and you're allowed to disagree, and we don't have to agree on everything. It's all right. He's still my buddy. Makes phenomenal ribs, by the way. He's still my buddy, and you could still be my pal, too. It's okay. I'm not going to get upset. But I just have a long stay, because if you go down the road, if you accept the movie could do it, it inevitably leads you to what the left wants you to conclude, which is that it's ultimately not the fault of the person. And the gun is the issue. See, that's where it goes. If you can blame a movie, why can't you blame the gun? If you can blame a song on the radio, why can't you blame the gun? If you can blame a video game, why can't you blame the gun? The left wants to blame the gun, not the person. And if you can assign to them something that enables them to be the victim in all this in some way, shape, or form, they were influenced by this, they saw too many Matt Damon movies, they saw too many, you know, Matrix movies, whatever. If that's the problem, well, then so is the firearm, because the firearm is what they use to kill people. And I've always said, if you keep it on the shooter, if you make it about that person, and you'll understand whatever unique things. And look, it may be a movie that drove them over the top, but it doesn't mean that movies are at fault. Much like how the gun was the weapon, it doesn't mean that guns are at fault, because the gun is an inanimate object. It didn't hurt anybody until it was used by somebody to hurt people. And that's the point that I'm just very consistent on. And so really, my strong position on this point, which I've held for years, really comes from the premise of defending the Second Amendment. Because the minute that you can take away the responsibility of somebody and assign it to something else, it inevitably leads you to then assign that blame to the gun itself. Because, you know, if you didn't have the gun, he couldn't have done that. The gun's the problem. And it may have been a combination where the guy was playing active shooter games, watching violent movies, and then also eating a lot of sugar, and maybe he was on meds, and maybe somebody cut him off, and maybe his a woman didn't look at him a certain way in the department store. Who the hell knows? But at the end of the day, he's the one that committed the heinous crime. And as long as we understand that, then we can hold the person accountable. And gun control laws do nothing, because all they do is punish people who are in fact law-abiding citizens. You know about that awful shooting in California, and obviously the lunatic here was also in the we're at that point now where we're learning more about what the federal authorities, what authorities knew about him prior to this shooting. And once again, we're not going to be surprised when we realize that they knew about this guy and there were warnings about this guy and everything else. I mean, none of that's going to be surprising when all this comes out eventually. But this is what an LA County sheriff said regarding gun laws. Cut number two.
Gun violence needs to stop. There's too much of it. We're all standing here tonight because an individual took a weapon and did the damage that we've talked about without repeating it. I think all of us need to take some ownership there. I think we really need to go back and look at what we do. California has some of the strictest gun laws in the country, but yet look what we just had today. So let's look at across our nation, see what works and what doesn't. But I could tell you this, the status quo is not working. So we need to re-examine what we're doing and what may work better. And I hope that this tragedy doesn't just go on a long list of many others that we don't even talk about until the next one comes up.
Now, the point about these things, I mean, despite what the media tells you, these things are incredibly rare. The odds of this happening to you are very, very, very almost non-existent. That's the good news. But of course, it doesn't change anybody who's a victim of these things. But the media always runs with the narrative that, oh my God, you know, hundreds of mass shootings a year. And it's their definition of that is insane. But even in a state with the strictest gun control laws in the country, this happens. It can happen. I mean, in an open society where you have guns, there are crazy people who are going to do things. Unfortunately, that's just the fact. But, you know, my concern always comes down to, after these things happen, the left does what they inevitably do, and they start demanding, and you'll hear it within the next few hours if you haven't already, you know, Biden, I'm going to ban AR-15s, and we got to take these guns and limit bullets, and they'll start with all the same things. That's not going to stop a crazy person any more than it's going to stop somebody who is a criminal on the streets of Philadelphia. Matt DeSantis sent this to me a couple hours ago, and I meant to get to it, but I just forgot. Philly Crime Update. They do a great job on Twitter, at Philly Crime Update. Philadelphia Eagles player CJ Gardner-Johnson reports that someone stole his vehicle today in Philadelphia. He got his car stolen. in Philly.
Exactly, who took my car.
Yeah. Do you have the audio of that, Matt? I don't want to play it. I don't know if there's any curse words in it.
Don't play it. He was upset, all right, good. So there's a lot of
I would be upset if somebody stole my car.
I don't blame him.
Exactly. So, yeah, I'm not going to, you know. But anyway, but the reason why I brought up my buddy Jay was because, in addition to us having a good debate about this, he told me that he was watching CBS 3, and they had this report on egg smuggling over the southern border. And I almost fell off my friggin' chair when I heard that. I said, come on. Come on, man. They're not really doing that, are they? And sure enough, they are. Egg smuggling over the southern border. This is apparently a thing. You've heard about the high price of eggs. I know a lot of people that have chickens. They you can even rent a chicken nowadays. Did you know that? You can rent a chicken and have the chicken lay eggs for you. But, like, I've got friends who have chickens, and they're having a great time because they're getting all these eggs and everything like this. But it's very, very funny. Smuggling eggs into the United States. This is a CBS San Diego news report, which went national. Cut 19.
$3 for a dozen eggs could seem like a steal for those fed up with U.S. prices and are hoping to take advantage of the prices in Tijuana.
It's ridiculous. The price is way too elevated.
They're too pricey.
But those $3 can quickly become a fine of up to $10,000 if you fail to declare your eggs at border crossings. And that's because federal law prohibits Americans from bringing raw eggs or poultry across the border. But Customs and Border Protection says that hasn't stopped people from trying.
It's cheaper in TJ.
Probably, yeah, that would be like the second option I would do, like go to TJ and buy them there because they're more cheaper.
In a tweet, the director of field operations for CBP alerted the public about an uptick in egg seizures and reminded border crossers of fines. With a U.S. egg shortage linked to bird flu outbreaks, grocery stores are finding it harder to keep eggs in stock.
We're working on a lower margin.
At La Bodega in San Ysidro, owner Anthony has been fully stocked but says he's had to look for ways to keep customers happy because prices are also skyrocketing.
This is 5 flats, so it's a 100 count egg for $40.99. You know, if you buy them separately, it's obviously more expensive. These 5 would cost you $50, so you're getting a $9 discount buying it by the case.
He also says that many San Ysidro markets are close to the U.S.-Mexico border, so it's not uncommon to see customers easily turn away and cross the border. For people caught with small amounts of eggs, they could face a fine close to $300. If you tell CBP up front what you're bringing back, your eggs will still be seized, but you may not have to pay a fine.
Or just cross the border illegally with your eggs and you'll have no problem. That's what you could do. Because nobody gets stopped at the border, and they're certainly not going to take your eggs at the border. That would be very inhumane. So just do that. What I love, though, is that in the middle of we're having this absolute emergency crisis at the United States southern border, where you have tens of thousands of immigrants steaming into this country every single day, risking their lives, dying in the process, and then they're just released into the wild. They're freaking focused on people bringing eggs back from Tijuana. Are you kidding me? How about the fentanyl that's coming in over the southern border, which we've talked about before? The Mexican cartels bring the fentanyl over the southern border. Then they stay in hotels, Airbnbs in California, where they distribute it across the country. And of course, they get the raw materials for the fentanyl from China. I don't know. Maybe if they hide the fentanyl at the bottom of the egg cartons, I guess maybe that'll be a thing. But it's just hysterical. The media acts like there's no crisis at the border whatsoever. Everything's fine down there. But when it comes to a couple of people bringing eggs over, oh, stop the presses. We got a story here. Unreal. 855-839-1210. We got a lot to get to. I'm just getting warmed up. We got some more audio from Karine Jean-Pierre. And for Joe Biden, the problems here are only getting worse and worse. Don't go away. Oh, and let me tell you about Cooper. Cooper University Healthcare, South Jersey's leading academic health system. And of course, where the Zioli family goes for all of our medical care as well, because Cooper is the best. They are South Jersey's leading academic health system for a reason. And you should definitely check out the great doctors in at Cooper, doctors and nurses and providers who work at the level, the region's number one, level one trauma center. Are the very same people you will see if you and your family need urgent care at a Cooper Urgent Care. That's right. The very people on the front lines are on the front lines for your family every single day. And Cooper provides complete health care from primary care to more than 75 specialties, including advanced personalized cancer care through the MD Anderson Cancer Center at Cooper, as well as comprehensive neurological care through their Neurological Institute. Welcoming and caring for patients from 50 states and 35 countries. For an appointment, call 800-8-COOPER or cooperhealth.org. Cooper is committed, compassionate, complete.
Thanks for listening to the Scioli Show podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the Odyssey app.
All right, it is a busy Monday afternoon. Holy cow, we are just cooking with gasoline here. By the way, New York Governor Kathy Hochul uses a gas stove and wants to ban gas stoves for everybody else because it's gas stoves for me and not for thee. Got it? Exactly right. Unmoderated content on Twitter asks Rich, so if I smuggle eggs across the border, should I declare they've applied for asylum? It's a great question. I think you should. No doubt about it. And Matt DeSantis pointed something out that he heard in that clip of that CBS News report. What did you hear?
Oh, it was a different CBS report.
Oh, a different CBS report.
But yeah, they were saying that one of the reasons why eggs are so expensive, particularly in California, is that all the chickens in that state need to be free range.
Ah, free range. Gotcha. Okay. Good to know. All right. Well, now we know. The free range certainly causes prices to go up. No doubt about it. All right. It was so much to get to. It's just like I said, it's a very, very busy day today, and we're trying to cover all of it. If you have a couple more Karine Jean-Pierre clips for you, live from the White House, of course, today. She can't answer a friggin' question. And let's see here if I can. Somebody just sent me a video that just popped up. Let's see if I can minimize that. There we go. Here are the clips from Karine Jean-Pierre. First of all, she was asked to point to a single instance in which Biden has actually demonstrated how seriously he takes classified documents. She can't do it, of course. Take a listen.
When you and the White House and the President all say that the President takes these classified documents very seriously, without commenting on the ongoing legal issue, what would you point us to that would demonstrate that seriousness?
I'm going to really refer you to the White House Counsel's office.
So the President continues to say that he takes this seriously, and you can't demonstrate how he takes it seriously?
Let me finish my answer. I'm gonna refer you to the White House Counsel's office, and I'm gonna refer you to the statements that you've received from his personal lawyer. I'm gonna refer you to the 45 minutes of conversation of back and forth that my colleague has had with all of you last week. He's about to do another one where you can ask questions about this particular legal matter.
Okay, so again, I'll refer you to White House Counsel, I'll refer you to them, blah, 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 and there you go. This is another clip of Karine Jean-Pierre. It's a non-issue. This is something that happened here with regards to our oil reserves, obviously. But it's a non-issue. Don't worry about it. Don't sweat it. Take a listen.
The House has passed bipartisan legislation that would ban the export of oil from the Strategic Petroleum Reserve to Chinese companies. Given that oil has flowed to China from that reserve during both this administration and the previous one, is that the type of reform that the President would potentially support?
So look, I think this is a little bit of what the Secretary was talking about just moments ago. This bill addresses a non-issue. We're very clear on that.
Very clear on that. You know what? Now I understand, Matt DeSantis. I was distracted by a video that somebody sent me. Sorry, my friends have terrible timing. But the CBS report talking about what's causing egg prices to skyrocket. Now I understand. Now I get it. Okay. What's causing egg prices to skyrocket? And then that's where they mentioned California with their ridiculous free-range egg laws, right?
Correct. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Well, now I know. Now I understand. All right. Do you want to hear it? Should we hear the story?
Yeah, it's interesting.
All right, go ahead.
At Egg Talk, a breakfast spot in Los Angeles that goes through up to 6,000 eggs a week, costs have quadrupled, and they're feeling it.
All of our courses are made with eggs.
Nationwide, prices for grade A eggs are up 137% from last year to an average of $4.25 a dozen. Meanwhile, the line of cars is about 30 minutes long at Billy's Egg Farm in Southern California.
You couldn't find eggs in the grocery store, so I've been coming ever since.
And workers are scrambling to meet demand.
We pack eggs in here 8 to 4 o'clock nonstop.
Co-owner Billy Mao sells 25,000 fresh eggs a day for $5 a dozen.
That's a pretty good bargain right now. Grocery stores are $7 to $9 a dozen.
That's if you can find them. This is what a lot of store shelves here look like.
Why is there a shortage right now? What's going on?
Well, I'm sure you heard there is a bird flu in the Midwest, and most of the eggs that come to our grocery stores here in California come from the Midwest.
So far, almost 58 million birds in the U.S. have been infected or euthanized. It's the country's worst outbreak ever.
The unfortunate reality with this particular strain of the bird flu is that it seems to be potentially endemic in wild birds.
Meaning it could be here to stay. But the American Egg Board says inflation is an even bigger part of the problem.
Bingo.
No problem.
And there's another factor in California. All eggs sold in the state now have to come from cage-free chickens, like Billy Mao's.
It's expensive. It's about $20 to $25 per bird to switch over to cage-free.
Well, you see, it's those ridiculous policies. But inflation is the issue. Look, let me ask you a question. If there was a Republican president right now, would you hear anything about a bird flu, or would it all be about inflation and all be about everything else, the supply chain, everything else? This is what I mean about how deceptive the media is. But I'm glad that they did point out that fact about the free range costs and what those costs mean. And of course, you pay for it. You get those costs get passed on to you. When California passes laws that say all chickens have to be free range, you pay for that because they never eat up those costs themselves. So that's something you wind up paying for. But of course, like I said, you could just smuggle them over the border. Just don't go through a checkpoint. Just walk in over the border with your eggs and you will be fine, okay? You'll be fine. There's nothing bad that can happen to you, so don't worry about it. Got it? All right, good. Wanted to mention, speaking of food, M&M's has ditched their spokes candies because they realize now that nobody wants woke chocolate. Nobody wants woke anything. And they put out a statement today. This was after they had they were going to have the gay M&M's, the lesbian M&M's, the lady power M&M's. They were doing all this kind of wacky stuff, which is stupid because, you know, it's just them getting in the game of woke. Well, they put out a statement today. It says, America, let's talk. In the last year, we've made some changes to our beloved spokes. Spokes candies. We weren't sure if anyone would even notice, and we definitely didn't think it would break the internet. But now we get it. Even a candy's shoes can be polarizing, which was the last thing M&M's wanted since we're all about bringing people together. Therefore, we have decided to take an indefinite pause from the spokes candies. In their place, we are proud to introduce a spokesperson America can agree on, the beloved Maya Rudolph. We are confident Ms. Rudolph will champion the power of fun to create a world where everyone feels as if they belong. You see, they acknowledge what we know, what you and I have talked about. Woke doesn't work. It never works for these companies. But there is a small faction of lunatics out there, and they think that speaks for everybody in America. And whenever they try to cater to these people, they realize that they lose every single time because nobody wants this stuff. And yet they all keep doing it. Why do they all keep doing it? Because they wind up hiring people who've been indoctrinated in colleges. And then when they get to these companies, they tell them that everybody thinks like them. Everybody thinks like their friends, their little woke friends. And so the companies think, well, we want to reach young people, so let's do this stuff. And then they find out it's a disaster for them. And this is what happens. And yet they keep doing it. Corporation after corporation keeps doing this stuff. And yet you see the public backlash. You see the reaction to this, and because people see through it, because it's silly and stupid. It really is. It's silly and stupid. M&M's having body positivity candies when eating M&M's will literally make you into a fat person. Because it will. It's all sugar. It's terrible for you. I mean, as a treat once in a while, fine. But let's be honest, you eat like that a lot, you're gonna have a lot of body issues. But that's why M&M's have the body positivity M&M to try to let itself off the hook a little bit, even though they are the reason why so many people are overweight to begin with. Foods like that, I mean, because we live in a country right now where, much like the FDA gives into Big Pharma, these companies are their own drug delivery systems, and we know that. We've seen that, obviously. So I'm just pointing that out. And on the issue of the Supreme Court leaker, I'd be remiss if I did not mention to you that they did not find the leaker, they say. But the SCOTUS marshal did not force justices to sign an affidavit over the leak, and employees admitted telling spouses. So why did we not know about this? How do we still not know who that Supreme Court leaker was in the Dobbs case? Investigators questioned the Supreme Court justices as they sought to track down the person who leaked Justice Samuel Alito's draft opinion in Dobbs v. Jackson Women's Health Organization last year, but did not force them to sign affidavits. Alito said late last year that the leak of the draft in May 2022 made the majority in support of overruling Roe and Casey targets for assassination, because it gave people a rational reason to think they could prevent that from happening by killing one of us. He's exactly right. And you remember all the protests outside the homes of the justices and how the White House did nothing about it. Nothing. Supreme Court Marshal Gail Curley said in a statement on Friday she spoke with each of the justices several on multiple occasions. The justices actively cooperated in this iterative process, she said, asking questions and answering mine. I thought up an all credible leads, none of which implicated the justices or their spouses. All right? On this basis, I do not believe that it was necessary to ask the justices to sign sworn affidavits. You know as well as I do that this was a clerk to one of the lefty judges, and they know exactly who the person is, and that person, one of the Supreme Court justices, is covering up for them. That's what happens. The Marshall's public report concludes that, quote, it is unlikely that the court's information technology systems were improperly accessed by a person outside the court. One of those people working in the United States Supreme Court is the leaker, and you know exactly who it is. It's a person who is a clerk to one of the lefties, and that's the reason why there was this leak. And they could have found it. They could have if they really wanted to. But I don't think they wanted to. We have seen protests at conservative justices' homes, an assassination attempt against Justice Brett Kavanaugh. It gave Michigan Democrats a head start in organizing and getting a proposition on abortion on the November ballot. We could have figured out who this person is, but in order to do that, we would have had to get people under oath, including the justices themselves. And they declined to do that on purpose. On purpose. Because they want to protect this person. Because this person's a hero to the left. You know that. This person who violated hundreds of years of Supreme Court etiquette and decorum, this person who risked the lives of the Supreme Court and the process and everything else, is a hero to the left. Because they let us know, they let you know about what was coming down the pike. A few of those interviewed admitted to telling their spouses about the draft opinion or vote count in violation of the court's confidentiality rules. Several personnel told investigators they had shared confidential details about their work more generally with their spouses. Some personnel handled the Dobbs draft in ways that deviated from their standard process for handling draft opinions. The Dobbs decision, and the leak of this, also caused irreparable harm between the justices themselves. And one of them knows who this person is, and one of them knows it was their clerk. And instead of routing the person out, instead of being forced to testify, being forced to sign an affidavit, being forced to acknowledge with penalty of perjury, they let him off the hook. So you're never gonna have this. On the basis that I believe the justices cooperated, I did not believe that it was necessary to ask the justices to sign sworn affidavits. So that's it. It's over. We'll never know. We will never know who the leaker was of the United States Supreme Court Dobbs decision. We'll never know. But we will know about the deceptive campaign for bivalent COVID boosters. Yes, they're all in on the booster shots these days, but why? I'll tell you why. It's about money. I always say follow the money, right? Well, this is about the money, and you need to follow it. And I'll give you that in just a few moments. But I want to thank my friends at Emmons Roofing and Siding. I'll tell you what, Matt and his wife, Stephanie, understand, they really do, that a lot of times, you know, you need the work done. But sometimes with inflation and everything else, you may want to put it off. You don't have to. You don't have to, because Emmons is offering an inflation relief discount of 10% off windows, siding, roofing, and every project that they do. Emmons is the company that I use in my home. I have a 50-year guarantee on my roof. And we had new windows and new doors put in as well. So what are you waiting for? Reach out to them today at emmonsroofing.com. In addition to the 10% off, they'll give you 12 months same as cash financing to pay for it. It's fantastic. It really is. And they're great people. Matt and Stephanie are good people, and they'll do a great job for you. And if you need a new roof, you can't wait. You know, winter's here and these problems only get worse. If you have a Jersey Shore property, have them inspected for you. They'll do that for you as well. Free estimates. 856-885-6677. 856-885-6677. Visit emmonsroofing.com, E-M-M-O-N-S, emmonsroofing.com. Take advantage of their inflation relief discount and 12-month financing. Emmons is the company that I use and trust, and they should be your company too. So don't wait. Whether you have a property at the shore, Delaware, Pennsylvania, New Jersey, they service it all. And a special offer, like I said, 10% off, 12 months same as cash to pay for it. They do a great job. I'm so glad I use them, and I definitely recommend them to you. EmmonsRoofing.com.
Rich Zeoli, weekday afternoons, 3 to 7, Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and on the free Odyssey app.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.